Hello, everybody, and welcome to Anime Roulette, the podcast where we watch different anime every other week and we talk about it. This week, we are talking about My Hero Academia Season 2. I'm very excited about it, but let me introduce my co-hosts. We have Scott.
Hello.
And Ashley.
Hi.
Let's just jump right into it at the top here. Yeah. So I'm going to give a short, hopefully very fast and accurate description of what this anime is. Okay, so season two of My Hero Academia, spoilers by the way, let's just say that at the top, spoilers. Season two of My Hero Academia, USJ just happened. All Might is not feeling well. Aizawa is not feeling well. The students have a sports festival regardless of the imminent threat. Very American-like. It's beautiful. High art. So they do the sports festival. Todoroki struggles with his trauma of his dad being an absolute cunt and his mom going crazy. Todoroki fights with Deku. Deku, instead of beating him with his fist, beats him with the powers of friendship and kind of succeeds. Todoroki is now able to use his fire side, and it's beautiful. Except he fights Bakugo and immediately is like, I'm not fucking using that. That's my dad's power. It's a whole big thing. It's dumb. Immediately following that, Bakugo wins, by the way, because he's so good. immediately following that, what happens next? Jesus. Oh, yeah. Tenya's brother gets fucking just lambasted by Stain, the hero killer. And Tenya decides, oh, yeah, nah, I fuck with him. It was on God, on sight at that point. He then have is not a fucking word that works together. I'm very tired. They then have their internships, and Tenya specifically chooses Hosu City to find Hero Killer. That's where he was. Everybody goes to their places. Deku goes to Gran Torino's house and, I don't know, learns how to put an egg in a microwave properly. Learns how to microwave an egg. It doesn't make any sense. He then knows how to use his quirk. Then we have Ida choosing the name Ingenium, going to Hosu City, finding Stain, getting his shit rocked by Stain, Deku showing up, him also kind of getting his shit rocked by Stain, but he sent a text to Todoroki saying where he was. Didn't say anything else. Todoroki was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll go. I'm in the city. Why not? Fuck it. They collectively just mollywop that man to submission. And yeah, Tomura is having Nomus flying around now. They fly now. That's about it that happened, with the exception of, like, that ends. They do their final test, which is they team up in pairs of twos. Deku fights All Might with Bakugo. It's a whole amazing thing because they're so powerful together, but they're such, you know, the sexual tension between them is too high. So yeah, it was a good season overall. We are gonna now, I think, open the forum and discuss this. These two goons are fucking giggling in the back over here, trying not to laugh on mic.
I don't think we need to go into this. This has been Anime Roulette, everyone.
Yeah, I think we did it, boys.
Bye-bye.
I think we did it. That's the podcast. We said it, buddy. Listen, I think that was succinct and in less time than the fucking video I watched, so. And I mentioned Hosu City by name. He was like, the district.
The district.
Come on, dude. Just say fucking Hosu. It's not hard. Bakugo over here.
Like, he didn't even watch the show.
Dude, I shit you not. I feel bad because I don't want to make fun of this guy. And I'm not going to name names, but I was at work last night and I watched a summary video. Because I was like, you know, I did just watch all of season two and, like, I don't know, not long. But, like, I was playing Overwatch while I did it. So it doesn't, you know what I mean? I want to make sure I retain this information. So I was watching a quick summary, and, man, I feel bad, but this guy is, like, pronouncing everybody's names just way wrong. Except for Todoroki. But he does say, like, Todoroki.
Todoroki.
And I'm like, okay, I get it. But also, you don't have to say it like that. But he calls Bakugo Bakugo. He calls fucking Midoriya Midoriya. Doesn't say Hosu City, which I think
sounds
is just,
like an STD. You know, yeah.
Doesn't it? It, well, like, if you look at it like midichlorians, it is kind of an STD. An STD to the Star Wars
Before
fandom.
We get into the conversation, I'd like to give a little bit of a fun fact that pertains to Bakugo.
Yeah.
That I think we could talk about, too. Originally, Kohei Horikoshi intended Bakugo to be a kind and compassionate character. They ended up changing the character design because he felt it would have made the character dull and boring. So I guess my big question on that one is, how different would the series be if they had made Bakugo's character like that? Because he's the oldest one in the class. He was supposed to be the one that was kind of, you know, the big brother.
So I'll go in real quick. I was thinking about this last night because, like I said, I was working. I had a lot of free time. And it just wouldn't be a show. Like, I don't think it would exist. I think that it's such a, like, I don't think it would hit the way it does, like, as it is now. I think having Bakugo to be that tsundere where there is none. I mean, every anime needs a tsundere, right. So.
I think, I agree. Like, Midoriya wouldn't have the drive he has now to become the person he wants to become because he didn't have that character, you know, growing up around. You know, at first, Bakugo was always a hothead. But at the same time, he wasn't as violent when he was younger. And then as he started to get, when he found out he had his quirk, he started getting stronger. He started becoming more and more negative. And I think that helped give Midoriya, like, I need to get strong because I want to help save people.
Well, it's such a struggle, right? Because every anime pro tag needs a rival. And the reason for that is, you know, they're all filled with hope and, like, aspirations. But who's going to test that? Nobody's there to test their resolve. Then it doesn't, you know, they just don't do anything.
Yeah.
He needs to have kind of a motivator, to say the least.
He definitely needed that, especially in the classroom, because when you think about, like, Todoroki and Ida and all the characters, they're it's like a friendship-based thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, with Bakugo, it's like this tension.
Sexual.
Sexual tension.
Yeah,
so no, raw.
It's a
that
lot.
That he doesn't get from all the other people in his class because he's friends with them.
It is definitely such a different role because, like you said, everybody in that class is just like, let's be friends and hug each other. Like, I mean, with the exception of, like, in the beginning, Todoroki's like, you're my enemy. Like, you are clearly going to be the strongest person in this class if you were not unchecked as well. So, like, between Todoroki, Ida, and Bakugo, you know what I mean? But if Bakugo's not there, like, who the fuck else steps up?
Yeah, but I think Todoroki wouldn't really have fit that in comparison to Bakugo, because Todoroki has a very different style of, like, not wanting to be involved with other people as in comparison to Bakugo. Bakugo is very fiery.
Oh, yeah, he's in the face.
Todoroki's very calm and very reserved in comparison. It wouldn't have been as exciting if it was Todoroki that had been pinned against him as his rival.
It's a different vibe, for certain. I think it would be good, but it would be a lot different, and, like, dramatically so. If you want more fun facts like that, check us out on Twitter. Our Twitter is anime_roulette. We also have a Facebook that's just anime roulette. You know, the goods. Check it out. We're posting fun facts all the time. Send it. So let's talk about the sports festival. Because that's, I mean, essentially the first half of this season. I liked it. It's, I don't know, man. I watched this show, like, when it was airing. So it's, like, it's hard to even think about, like, because I just think it's good. It's so hard because there's not a lot that I have to say that's negative about this show in general. They do everything really well, from the music to, like, the setting. You know, they set the scene perfectly, in my opinion. I kind of agree with Scott in some ways. Like, Bakugo is a lot, though.
Yes.
He is a lot. Still like him, but, man, he's, some days I watch it, I'm like, man, Jesus, just chill for a minute.
I liked seeing, you know, people from, like, the different classes. You know, 1B, the support class, you know, different things like
that. The remedial class. That's where I was.
The general studies?
Yeah, general studies. Yeah.
Remedial science.
Shinso.
Was impressive. Or, like, the support class, like, Mei Hatsume.
Oh, yeah.
Love that woman.
Yeah. And a lot of them from Class B. I mean, I feel like we didn't see very many of them from Class 1B. You had your front runners, but...
Front runner.
From what we know, you know, from the manga, you know, he was showing, the mangaka and was showing, like, earlier who these people were, so you'd get to know them, start to get to know them before he actually starts using them more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if any of you have been keeping up with My Hero, I know everyone in this room has, then you just saw the trailer that came out recently for us.
Oh, boy.
So hype.
And it shows more of Class 1B and of a general study.
A single student from general studies.
That proved himself during the
sports
festival.
Matters.
The only one that matters. The only one in Class 1B now, if he is in Class 1B, that matters. That's to be determined.
Either, we still don't know the manga.
That's a lie. I like Manama.
But
I don't like Manama. I think he's an intelligent person.
The dude is smart and has a godlike quirk.
But every word that comes out of his mouth, I just want to punch him.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
That's the best part about Kendo.
I love Kendo for it. She, the big sister of 1B, she handles it so well.
Oh, dude, she's a 10. She's best girl of 1B.
Yeah, it also completely makes sense how she became the class president for them.
Oh, yeah, it tracks.
Because everyone respects her.
So what was the, they do the race first, right? The relay race kind of thing. When Deku realizes, oh yeah, I can steal a shield from one of these robots and use it as a fucking toboggan and just mount over everybody with a landmine. It's genius. It's very smart.
I've seen online that a lot of people have complained that it was boring.
I get that part
of it because it wasn't quirks, but look at how impressive that was without using a quirk. Right.
And I mean, there were quirks, though. Like, I mean, look at...
No, I mean, you know, like, he didn't use his quirk.
Of course he didn't. I mean, come on. How can you expect a people man who can't microwave an egg to use his quirk?
People have said that it was boring to see him run through it and then win first place when he didn't even use his quirk.
It's fair. It's very fair. I don't know if it was earned necessarily, but I mean, it was smart. You know what I mean? He did the smart thing. Like that's just kind of his shtick.
I mean, it shows that even without his quirk, he's still capable. I think is what it was trying to go for, because he's still. This is before he knew full cowling, so he could barely do anything with his quirk. If he even attempted to use his quirk, he would have blown up his legs.
Yeah, that egg would have been gone.
Yeah,
I'd like to say my favorite part of the race was when Kirishima got buried and all of a sudden he comes popping through and he's like, I'm alive!
Oh, yeah.
Mine was Mei Hatsume, where she walks up to Deku and she goes, hey, let me join your team.
Oh,
I want to use your current fame for my own ends. Just completely out, just open about it.
Can we talk about how, speaking of that, like, situation, Tokiyami, right?
Hmm.
Deku set all this up and he chose Tokiyami. But didn't realize that Dark Shadow is, like, not good with light at all.
It wasn't his first choice. Ida was actually his first choice. And nobody wanted to be on his team because of the points that he was worth. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you gotta respect Ida for turning him down, though.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I also kind of, I respected, and I was surprised that Uraraka did not take the point of view, like, he offered on Bakugo for the fight. And she was like, no. I can do this on my own.
And then that also affects her later. You know, it comes back, she talks about it, and she goes, I understand where Ida's coming from, you know, wanting to do their best to, you know, work with you and try to be better than you. Because it is, you know, for something like that, it is kind of a competition. It's a friendly competition. But she finally understands that sometimes she's going to have to rely on herself and other people instead of just going with people she understands and knows.
They're not
going to
grow if they're constantly behind him and, like, that push-pull between them. You got to kind of be like, all right, we're friends, but I want to kind of make it on my own.
Yep.
A little bit later, I'm going to be talking about the OPs of this show. All three that have been shown, because we didn't talk about the first one. And this wasn't a segment prior to today. But I have some discussions about that situation exactly.
Okay.
It's interesting. The concept that is just shown in an opening. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's so incredible the way that animation studios do that.
You know, I watch a lot of Mother's Basement, Jeff Thu, when he does...
I was actually just thinking about Mother's Basement last night. Yeah. I was like, he did a video on that, I think.
And he does videos on openings for big shows.
What's in
like
an OP,
that.
Right?
Yeah, something like that. And I love watching. Like, and all, most of the videos that come out that he comes out with, I watch almost all of them. You know, I like his perspective and how he... Mm-hmm. You know, analyzes everything about a show.
It's very in-depth, yeah. as it should be. So we get through the relay race. We get to, you know, Deku and Tokoyami and Mei and Uraraka. Yeah?
Yeah.
Beating cheeks. Not beating cheeks, getting their cheeks kind of clapped, if I'm being honest.
And honestly, one of the best moments when Manima goes up against Bakugo, and Bakugo just loses his shit.
It's funny, because it kind of worked in Deku's favor that moment.
Oh.
Like, incredibly, because Bakugo would have fucked Deku's shit up hard. Like, he would not have stood a chance, let's be honest. Like, that situation was pretty much fraught with disaster.
What about Ida doing the Recipro Burst?
Oh, the dude
and
pushed too hard.
Surprising everybody.
It was nuts. It was very nuts.
Also, Momo's skates that she made for the back.
Bruh. It fucking killed me. Killed me, dude.
I don't remember who else was on the team.
Me either.
Was it Ojiro?
Oh, no, Sarah was on Bakugo's.
Yeah.
So, because he was pulling Bakugo back from his...
And it wasn't Ojiro. Ojiro was with
Ojiro was with Shinso.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I know Ashido was with Bakugo.
Yep.
And Kirishima.
Yes, and Kirishima.
Kirishima was the front.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know either.
It was Denki.
Oh, yes.
It sure was.
That's right. It sure was, yeah.
That's what I couldn't remember. The blandest person.
I love Denki. I love him.
I find him interesting. He's definitely comic relief.
He's a cutie.
But Denki's great.
He's a cutie patootie. So then we have, you know, Todoroki wins, correct?
Todoroki takes first place, yes, because he still has the...
1 million.
The 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
But look at Tokoyami and Dark Shadow coming in with the win to keep them in there.
The cutest thing I've ever seen is Dark Shadow just holding up the little headband. It's so fucking cute. He's the cutest.
That another thing that I found really cute was Gunhead during Nochako.
Yes.
When she's on the phone with Deku at the end. She's like, I'm so glad you guys are okay. And he goes, Gunhead walks up and he goes, hey, we're getting ready to train. Was that a boy? And then he puts his hand up to his face and everything. Gets a little mark on his mask.
Oh, yeah. He's it's so funny, right? Because he's like the opposite of what you would expect.
Oh, yeah.
You expect him to be like this, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger fucking...
And just big, you know, buff, you know, manly man.
Stallone. No, he's a cutie. He's a precious boy.
He's a super sweet man.
Wholesome boy. God love him. So then we get to the winners of that, which were, let's see if I can remember off the top of my head, Uraraka, Todoroki, Deku, Tokoyami, Mei Hatsume, Ida, Bakugo, Kirishima,
Momo,
yeah,
Denki,
Ashido,
Belly Button Boy.
Yes.
Ayama.
No, he didn't win, did he?
He's in one of the groups that...
I don't think Ayama.
He goes against Mina. Ashido.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
And he ends up showing his underwear.
Oh, yeah.
And Mineta gets pissed because it wasn't the underwear he wanted to see.
And Shinso. Yes,
and Shinso. Who?
And Shinso's group.
Who took it? He deserved it.
Shinso was the only one in his group that competed.
Well, yeah,
the rest of them all were like, no.
Because, spoilers, he controlled their fucking brains to make them compete for him.
He's got an amazing ability.
It's so funny because, like... It's much like the conversation we had about a regular Magic High School. It is the flaw in the system.
Mm.
It is something that is so powerful that it is not thought of.
And Aizawa brings it up during the commentary when Shinso's there.
They fuck up. They fuck up sometimes.
I would like to say that when I listened to it this time, you were in fact right. I can definitely tell the difference in Mike's voice.
It's so much better.
I did not notice it the first time, but I listened really closely and I'm like, no shit! Really is!
It's funny, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because, I was playing Overwatch while I was watching this, but every time I heard it, I'm like, God, it's so much better. Like, it just fits so much better.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's something about it. But Shinso, essentially, is the most fucking badass person in this school. Maybe the most powerful. Like, if you really want to get technical.
He's got a really powerful quirk, but it's got a downside.
See, but there's got to be a way around it, right? You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a way around
it. Sure there is, but not something we can talk about right now.
They did find a way in the manga. Yeah. It's something you're going to see in the next season.
Yes, and I'm so hype.
Which is going to be amazing, probably.
If you're caught up to My Hero Academia, please watch that trailer. It's so good. And the OP is so good. I'm so excited.
It's a part of the manga I really enjoyed reading. So me too. I'm really excited for the next season.
As soon as I saw Class 1A and Class 1B and I said Versus, I was just, this instant nut, dude. Are you kidding? Oh, I'm so excited.
So let's kind of talk about the pairings. Like, the first group up was Shinso versus Midoriya.
Which is just a brutal attack on all fronts. Like he kind of, Midoriya essentially gets his shit pushed in for the first 1/8 or 1/8 of the fight, I guess. Like, he's just walking backwards into outer space.
And he's not even the one that moved his finger to...
No, he's not. You know, he gets saved from the mind control. He gets saved from the mind control by... Let's be real, probably some of All For One's...
Or, I thought All Might said that he was able to move his fingers, that the predecessors for All For One were what snapped his mind back so he could waggle his fingers just enough to push the power through.
Nah,
no, Midoriya even says in the anime that he was aware of what was going on, but it was not him that moved his finger.
Yeah.
And he saw all the shiny orbs in the doorway and, like, the shadows. Yeah. One looked like All Might and
the
all
rest
this stuff.
Looked like all the other, presumed
I
users. Heard
something then. It's all right. It happens. Misremembering something.
And then he just pushes forward. That's it. He just grabs him and pushes him. And
he shoulder throws him at the end.
The dude gets some fucking crazy good punches in.
He does.
Which surprised the shit. Like, watching it again, I'm like tearing up watching it. Like, oh my God.
Honestly, brutal. My heart felt a little heavy when Shinso was talking about how easy it must have been for Midoriya. And it's the hardest person to hear him say it to, because Midoriya is, like, the least likely to be receptive of something like that, because he knows exactly what it's like.
Moral of the story, you never know what somebody else is going through. They're probably going through the same exact shit as you, just a little bit different, you know?
It did make my heart feel very heavy, though.
Oh, it's the most intense fight in this show.
Shinso is... we've seen him more in the manga since then and everything, but, like, he's definitely a character that I would love to see more and more more, because he has a quirk that you would think would be used for the wrong reasons, and he's just got a sound head for all the right reasons.
He's a good boy.
He is.
No, I'm hoping to see that. I'm hoping he made it into one of the hero courses. You know, it'd probably be 2B. Or 1B. Sorry.
Well, I guess it would be 2B, wouldn't
technically
it?
Probably 2B by the time they actually can transfer.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say.
It would be 2B at that point in time. But yeah.
I'm not sure how many students are in 2B.
I feel like that's going to happen, you know.
I agree.
Because they saw their in the show, they saw their mistakes, and now they're trying to, you know, actually push someone who would be a good hero, because he's got a sound head. He's got a good tactical mind.
And you can definitely see, like, with the way Aizawa stood up for him and explained, like, the system of how they decide who gets in to the hero course and stuff like that.
On top of that, I mean, he works so fucking hard. The dude just, he's on that grind 24/7 trying to be better and to become a hero, like, because that's his goal.
Absolutely.
He wants to do better. Next fight is...
I kind of lose the order after that.
Tetsu versus
Kirishima.
Kirishima, thank you. Names. I believe that is the second fight.
Tetsu.
It's a fan
best
favorite.
Boy. He's so cute.
It's funny because I was just talking about this with you, but, like, I don't care about him, like, almost at all.
I find Tetsu adorable.
His personality.
He's an echo fighter.
Yes, he is an echo fighter.
His personality is so cute.
Listen, he just, in My Hero Wants Justice 2, he just was, he was just made DLC. He's fine. He's actually, it's really funny because, like, anybody on the internet will be like, oh, he's busted his shit, and then play him for more than an hour and be like, oh, he's at the bottom of the tier list. Never mind. He's hot garbage in that game.
You don't really see a lot of 1B.
No, after
in,
this?
In it. So you...
Monoma pops up a bunch.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, you see Kendo every once in a while, but it's usually
to grab Monoma.
Yeah.
And you see a smattering of them in the fight and stuff, and then, like, in the relay and different things using their quirks, but you don't get, like, a full front of everybody's abilities or things like that. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to say who I think would be best in terms of quirks and abilities at this point.
Yeah, I was seeing people walk through for the, I'm calling it the tournament arc, and see the 1B students walk through and then remember what happens later in
Me
the manga
too.
And be like, I know what your quirk is. Mm-hmm. I know what you can do. It was really good to see them be like, oh, so they were there.
Well, because
his
Connor
show does
said
that all the time.
Connor said
it's
last
crazy.
Night that Monoma is like the only one that counts in 1B. And trust, when you get further, that opinion will change.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
As of right now, he is literally the only one with any power that is like class 1A approved, in my opinion.
It's got a flaw though. 5 minutes is the only time is the allotted time that he has.
He only needs two. Listen, that's all it takes sometimes.
I mean, this is a spoiler for later, but he can take blanks, which means he can't, there's someone that he can't copy
correct,
the quirk
from. Correct.
Yep.
All I'm saying is, a lot of times, like, let's be real, a hard counter to somebody's quirk is their own quirk. A lot of the time.
I mean, Bakugo, I guess it depends on the quirk, really.
You think Bakugo could handle explosions, like, in his face? I know he can handle tossing them out, but I don't think he could handle getting one thrown in his fucking face.
I don't know, he got thrown through a fucking building.
Yeah, that's true. He gets thrown through a lot of things, huh?
Yeah.
He just gets hurt a lot. Okay,
I would think that his body would be a bit more resistant to fire, only because, I mean, he's got to be able to secrete the glycerin, the nitroglycerin or whatever it's
called. He sweats beautiful caramel-smelling nitro.
He does.
If we want to talk about how tough his body is, we can just go, we can skip ahead real quick to the practical exam with Bakugo, Midoriya fighting All Might, and And Midoriya gets one of the gauntlets for their plan.
And he even admitted, like, wow, you use this?
And it damn near dislocated his shoulder.
Oh, yeah. The dude is buff. Like, he's a buff boy. So then we have a bunch of other fights that don't really matter. Denki Kaminari versus a girl with vine hair from Class 1B.
Yeah, I don't know why he thought his electricity was going to work against ground.
Yeah.
Didn't make sense.
Apparently he didn't play Pokemon
Did not play Pokemon. speaking of hype about the Gen 4 remakes and Arceus. Very exciting. And then we have... let's just quickly...
Mei Hatsume and Tenya Iida.
Oh, which is just a fun little, like, toy showcase. Like, she's a fucking QVC woman.
He was so mad.
It's the funniest shit. And then she just is like, yeah, I quit. It's good.
I have now shown off everything I wanted to show off.
I'm out.
And a bow.
Deuces. Goodbye.
You get to see the moment that Momo realizes that she's not just...
Oh, yeah.
The best shit ever.
It's actually
when she goes
favorite.
Up against Tokuyami. I mean, he took her confidence high to, like, just plummeted.
It shattered her for a while.
Oh, for a hot minute.
And she struggled with it even when they did their finals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it carried.
It required a newly reformed Todoroki to...
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, like post-tournament arc Todoroki... is just a wholesome, friendly, like power of friendship boy.
Still quiet.
Well, of course, but like he's got friends now. That's great.
I know we're kind of jumping around, but I want to talk about Todoroki real quick. Mm-hmm. After the whole Stain fight, when they're sitting in the hospital.
Hand crusher?
Yeah. Am I cursed? Everyone who gets involved with me, something happens to their hand. I'm like the hand crusher or something. And Iida and Midoriya are just sitting there laughing at him.
And he's just like,
I'm
I don't get
serious.
It. I'm being so serious
being
right
serious.
Now.
they're just dying because he's the sweetest boy.
He is the sweetest boy. I love that man. Yeah, they do their stuff in the tournament arc. The Uraraka versus Bakugo is
which I thought was
an
amazing
one.
Fight to watch. I thoroughly enjoyed watching that one.
Oh, I stopped playing because I was doing the same thing as Connor. I just wasn't playing Overwatch because I can't concentrate playing Overwatch.
Yeah, it's
so
hard.
I was playing Nier Automata while I was watching it because it was another Nier. I don't really need to worry about the gameplay. I'm just there to smash robots. You know, I'm beating the game several times. So I was just sitting there playing, and I stopped playing my game to watch
the entire fight. Yeah, I was cleaning, and when it came on, I had to sit down and just watch it. I just loved that fight.
It is probably the best, like, emotional story arc in this season.
Mm-hmm. And I was impressed because after it, and they were, like, flipping out, like, that's a girl! She's frail or whatever. And he's like, that is definitely not a frail girl.
Yeah, no, she... Of other many people who would have given up after, like, the sixth time Bakugo just bitch-slapped them away. It's like, no, you can stop.
I mean, she had to pass out to stop. I mean, she was crawling on the ground to get to him.
Bitch had a game plan, and she stuck to it. And she did really well. The issue is, you can't stop the blind rage of Bakugo.
No.
He is immune to that. He is a beast.
You know, he's not full of himself for nothing.
He's built different.
I mean, he's certainly not full of himself for nothing. He has the ability to back up his attitude.
Oh, God, yeah. He always has. Like, I feel like since he was a kid, he was, like, strong. You know what I mean? Like, even when he, like, before he had his quirk, I feel like he was, like, just a strong kid.
I mean, it shows real quick in a flashback. I think it was the last episode of a very young Bakugo who kicked two kids' butts by himself when he was very young. He was, like, kindergarten.
Yeah, he was little and he was crying, but then he was still standing up for himself.
He was still fighting off these older kids for some reason or another.
Then we have
Todoroki and Midoriya's fight.
Yeah, that one's pretty clean cut.
I wouldn't say it was like over the top exciting or anything like that. I mean, the end of it when Cementos had to get involved, that was kind of cool because the air from being so cold and then rapidly heating up, that was impressive. I mean, but, that was, like, Todoroki's, like, push moment.
It was really...
Aside from that, the fight, I didn't feel like...
No, it was fine. It was
one-sided fight.
Yeah.
The show is so good at setting a scene and, like, delivering artistically what they want to show. It's so good at that. In studio, who was it, Toho?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they do such a good fucking job. It's crazy. They have been doing such a good job since day one. It's buck wild.
I'm racking my brain to make sure that
Bones,
right.
I thought.
I know Studio Bones does it, but I think Toho Animations does it as well.
Oh, maybe. I'm pretty sure. I know Bones does.
Yes. I think Toho maybe produces it.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to double check. That's what the internet's for.
Yeah, Bones is correct, though. Like, they do the animations, if I recall. Bones is so fun. They do it all the time. They make good OPs as well. They've consistently been doing that with most of their shows.
Yeah, there hasn't been one on this show that I was like, ugh.
This show has nothing but good OPs.
Oh, for sure.
Like even my least favorite, I still love. It's hard not to. They're just so well done. So
that's how I felt about like Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh,
just some, in my opinion, some of the best. And I will say it right now, I hate Bleach, but I love the OPs.
Asterisk is such a good song, and the ending themes are good too. Arigato by Homemade Kazuku is such a good song. It's a fucking absolute banger, frankly speaking. It's one of the first anime songs I learned how to play on guitar. So good. So then we Studio Bones.
It is Bones, but there is a Toho logo at the beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
I've never even noticed that. I just knew about Bones.
Yeah.
Start paying attention, bitch. So yeah, you know, the Deku
Todoroki
fight is fine. I think it doesn't really stand out, and neither does the next one, I think,
because... The fight wasn't really... I don't think it was so meant to do anything. It was just kind of a placeholder for the situation.
It's so hard, right? Because there's so much emotion in... The first, like that Uraraka versus Bakugo fight.
It's hard and to top that.
You can't. Like, they don't, in my opinion. Even the Bakugo versus Todoroki finals, I don't think topped it. Like, especially emotionally.
It might have if Todoroki had been willing to use his fire side. Maybe you would have seen a little bit more of a fight, a more exciting fight.
Oh,
but
Todoroki would have folded his ass.
Well, yeah.
He would have destroyed him. Bakugo stood no chance.
But, the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, shit, he's using that side. This last fight is going to be amazing.
Could have humbled him.
Building up all this hype. And then I watched it, and I was like,
Yeah, it goes right downhill in that fight. He could have humbled the shit out of him.
You know, but I can kind of understand why Todoroki didn't use that side.
Oh yeah, no, it tracks.
Yeah, he still hasn't completely come to terms with, you know,
him. And when he cried when he was using it, and you did the close up on the side of his face, and you just see a tear as his dad's like screaming at him, and like that hurt my heart too. When his dad was like, he's like, the reason I made you. It's like, what kind of father says the reason I made you?
Fucked up parents is kind of a key trait of Todoroki, with his crazy mom and his dad who literally married her to make a child that would surpass his
enemy. I blame his dad more than his mom.
Well, of course, no, it's his fault. Like, his mom did nothing wrong with the exception of going nuts because of Endeavor. Endeavor is a fucking character that I could go in on for hours, but we can't.
We are learning
a bit about him. I know. Lately. I said that, and then I kind of got quiet for a second, and I'm like,
I mean, not to really go into anything, but it kind of shows his transformation into, like, why he's so hard on his children, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of emotion, too.
Yeah.
A lot.
Just that last chapter.
Yeah.
Chapter 302.
302. I got the feels so much.
Yeah. We got a lot of really good information about Endeavor, so it gives me a whole different perspective on him. I mean, I still think he's an asshat.
Yeah, so there's a lot that happened in this season, and we're about at the halfway point. The only other thing, there's a couple of things that we want to talk about aside from, you know, that the main groups of fights. Bakugo at the podium, he gets first place, obviously, because he's a fucking stone-cold killer constantly, dude. And he does not accept this win because he did not use his firepower.
In the most aggressive comedic way ever.
All Might is just looking at him like, what is that face? Oh my god.
He restrained him. Like he was Hannibal Lecter.
I mean, in fairness, he was about to just beat the shit out of Todoroki, who was passed out. So, like, he kind of needed
it. Passing out.
Yeah, it is. That's fair. And what else?
Hagakure during the cavalry battle.
Ah, yes, the invisible girl, correct? The
invisible girl, yes. I don't remember who was on her cavalry team, but the two boyos that were there, that were the side saddle there, the side horses that were holding her up, Gakure took her shirt off.
Oh, yeah.
Entirely.
Well, of course.
To make it harder to see her. So you just saw
a headband. Yeah.
So the two boys that are on the side there were adamantly looking away with their faces beat red. And, you know, that didn't bother her at all. You know,
no, of course not.
Gakure, she's either completely okay with being nude or is like the most embarrassed person there.
Have you ever wanted to know what she looks like?
Yes,
I mean, all the time. Just completely curious.
There's a bunch of like pictures and stuff like that on like Facebook and Twitter. They roll around all the time.
I wonder what it was like to be like her parents and like to have to take care of her as a baby. Like, let's give you your bottle in the eye or something.
I mean, think about Joestar's. You know, Joseph Joestar taking care of little Invisa baby. Part 4. Sorry, Andre, you don't know what that's about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, you've never seen JoJo's?
He hasn't seen Part 4.
Not Part 4.
Oh.
Yeah, which is the best.
The art style changed so drastically it hurt me physically.
Oh, don't worry, we'll get there. And oh my god, I'm so hype. No. I'm so excited.
I'm excited.
But speaking of Hagakure, I mean, and then during the practical exam when she was fighting Snipe with Dupla arms there.
Shoji, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Shoji's trying to talk to her, and, you know, she tried to talk to him, like, give him a plan that she had an idea, but he wasn't having any of it. He was too busy trying not to get shot. She's
taking her gloves off.
Yeah, so she takes off everything, which was just her gloves and her shoes, and goes over and handcuffs Snipe, and then Snipe accidentally elbows her boob.
You just hear boing.
Yep. And as soon as his elbow touches the soft squishiness, the only thing that comes out of his mouth is, oh no.
He knows what charge he's about to get.
Yeah, and then Hagakure just starts going off. I'm like, you pervert, please forgive me, it was an accident, I didn't mean to, I'm sorry.
Snipe's about to be put on a list, and that's a list he does not want to be on. Oof.
He goes from being this absolute badass to all of a sudden just like, crying for his, like, I'm sorry, please don't, forgive me, it was an accident, didn't know you were there.
Oh, Lord. So, since we're a little further in now, it's about the halfway point of the season, I want to talk about the OPs. I did not talk about the OP in the first episode. I wanted to, I didn't. We didn't have a lot of time in that first episode to discuss that. But I've got a lot to say about these OPs, so please indulge me for a moment. Hey everyone, it's Connor. I plan on doing random updates on certain things during these mid-rolls, maybe ads if we get them, but today I really just wanted to take a minute and thank everybody for the support on the podcast. It means the world to us that we have people listening. We have a lot of ideas on how to improve the show, but honestly, any feedback you listeners can give us would be immensely helpful. Now, once again, you can find us at anime_roulette on Twitter, anime roulette on Facebook, and of course, a review on iTunes always helps. Thank you again for listening, and let's get back to the show. So we have the first OP in the first season. It's that one was The Day by Porno Graffiti, which I just want to say, they don't miss, dude. Porno Graffiti is so fucking good all the time.
Yeah.
They never stop making good music. I don't know if that's just because, listen, Melissa from Fullmetal Alchemist is my favorite OP from that entire show.
Yes.
It's so good.
Yes.
They were one of the reasons I wanted to start learning like anime intros and stuff like that on guitar. It's just so fun and so catchy. That intro, there's a lot of symbolism. You see right at the beginning of that intro is like Deku being very timid, and that is his personality completely. And on top of that, like, it really shows like he's like looking at him almost like he's an idol. You know what I mean? Like, he's untouchable, and then he reaches out for him, and he looks back, and there's a moment of, like, it mirrors the scene in the first episode, like, completely. Like, he literally, like, that literally happens.
Right.
But you do see him kind of flinch or move away, and you think to yourself, it's either him flinching, like, I can't get that, or he's, like, because it cuts off. It doesn't show it, but he could be, like, grasping, like, he's reaching for it hard, which he does in the first season. I think that's pretty easy to gain from that. Then there's just a bunch of action shots. It's classic. It's a classic OP.
I think it's like my second, if I had to pick between the three.
So as far as the music is concerned, it slaps. it's a bop, man. It just slaps. It's so good. You know, you see all the cool stuff. You see the Aizawa fight versus everybody. You see the Nomu fighting All Might. It's a very good OP in terms of, like, cool action scenes. They do the animations really well. You know, not going to give it a legitimate rating, but the song, like, I'll rate, and it slaps. That's the rating. It slaps. Now, opening two is Peace Sign by Kenshi Yonezu. Oh, boy. This song really slaps. This one is a fucking good song, dude.
Less exciting on the visuals.
Oh, it's like nothing. There's no like it. I mean, we just watched it. I wanted to show them just again to reiterate. But like Scott had a really good point, which is like with all the exercising that they're doing, because they're all exercising in this OP. Mm. And like they're all exercising in very different ways that fits their character quite well. Like Todoroki, him, like, is the good example that that he came up with. He's doing like breathing exercises, which is very fitting for somebody with so much anxiety.
Yeah. I mean, it's also fitting for practical training as well. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was in the military, sometimes we'd go through and we'd do all of our calisthenics, we do our stretches. But at the same time, depending on who it was and what their belief system was for training, you know, because your supervisors, your NCOs, staff NCOs, whoever's in charge, basically gets to determine what kind of PT you do and what your stretches are, or he lets you stretch on your own. And every once in a while, we do breathing exercises. You know, our hands up, breathe in, breathe out, mm-hmm. all the shenanigans.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really helpful, especially if you're getting ready to do something, you just got done doing something, you know, strenuous for your body. It helps you mm-hmm. get the rhythm back.
Oh, yeah. So, like, as far as a rating goes, like, visually, it's pretty meh. Like, it's good. Like, it does, like, have a really nice showcase of, like, the Class 1A powers, some of Class 1B stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it does a good showing of that, but it is kind of meh in visuals. It's fine. Like, it's generic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like he said, he just showed us all three of them, but for me, it was the second one that really stood out for the visuals. I know the other ones have more, like, Sakuga put into them, mm-hmm. but it was the fact of seeing everyone kind of off on their own training to, like, you know, get better, to better themselves. It shows, like, their determination. these just those first few frames.
Yeah, these OPs do a really good job of, like, portraying who and what these characters are before you even know them. Like, in the first one, like, just the visuals of the still image of each character, you can tell their personalities. Freaking Aoyama, like, face as close to the screen as humanly possible. He wants to be the center of attention. You know, you have all of that stuff. You have Tokoyami looking, like, depressed. You have Todoroki looking depressed. You know, you have a bunch of people looking depressed because there's a lot of trauma in Heroes, huh?
Yeah, and if we go back to the second one real quick, I know I didn't really talk much about the first one, but like I said, the second one stood up to me more.
Oh, great.
Again with the stretching, you see Bakugo doing leg stretches, but they're more sharp than just about everyone else's because just how sharp a personality Bakugo has. You know, it's more aggressive, his stretching is, instead of, you know, making it so your body is more relaxed. You know, he was jerking from one side to the other when you saw him getting from one leg instead of, like, smoothly going over.
Oh, yeah.
And you have Deku, who's doing the cherry pickers.
Oh, yeah. There's so much in it. You know what I mean? As far as, like, the song goes, oh, it slaps. It really slaps. That chorus is so catchy. That opening guitar riff after the like, it's so fucking good. It really slaps. That's my rating. By the way, my rating system is, if it bops, it's a bop. If it slaps, awesome, it slaps. Really slaps, like, that's, you know, it's pretty good. And then if it fucks, if this song fucks. So far, none of these songs have fucked. But let me fucking, let me tell you, one of them will. I promise you that. I can tell you right now, I already know which one fucks. And it's by Kana Boone.
Run away now if you have the chance.
True. So in the second part of season two, we get a second opening for this season. And it is Sora ni Uteiba by Amazurashi.
Which is my favorite of the ones that we've talked about.
Yeah,
not my ultimate favorite one.
Yeah, we have the same favorite.
Yep.
Yeah. Now this OP is a lot. At least I got a lot from it. It's good. It's like, it's really good. But there is so many, like... like, there's a lot of really subtle things and a lot of not so subtle things. Like, the very beginning, you know, he's finally realizing he's able to do all this stuff without hurting himself. He's really learning how to not break the egg in the microwave, put it on the lowest power setting. It's the fucking thing that they say constantly, which is stupid. But it tracks, you know what I mean? And then, like, it shows All Might and Gran Torino, and then this mysterious figure of a woman. Who we all know, but y'all don't yet. So it's kind of like...
we can't tell you.
Yeah, no, we're not telling you. You'll see in season three. It's
if you know, you know.
Yeah, if you know, you know. You know, and then it's... you see Deku, Todoroki, and Ida, who are going to be the main protagonists of this arc. And then you see, of course, Ida turn, and you see his brother, who, as you know from the last... arc, got his shit pushed by the hero killer Stain. It then shows, you know, you kind of see the determination in his face. You know what he's going to do. Everybody does. And then you see, I would say, the secondary protagonists for this arc, which is Uraraka, Yayorozu, and Bakugo. And they are all processing traumas in different ways. Uraraka's processing the fact, you know, she's trying really hard to become a better person and a hero, and it's just not working. You know, it's very difficult, and she's struggling. Her family is struggling, as we find out in that last arc.
Yep.
It's very sad. It's a very emotional moment, and you see it in her face. You see her processing it as, I'm determined as shit, though. She is so determined, especially after, like, you know, all the stuff that happened. You know, she's about to go intern with Gunhead. You know what she's about to do. Oh, my God.
Gunhead martial arts.
Yeah. Yo, she's going to learn.
Yeah, Ochako, within just that week of her training, you know, when they do the practical exam later, and she goes, flies towards 13, those just kick in immediately. And she goes, like, selfless state and just takes down 13.
It was so funny, actually. It was so wicked good. Funny to watch.
It was so good. But then you have, like, Yayorozu, who is just struggling hard.
It was such a confidence boost to her, though. That's something I like about Aizawa, because, you know, he is a hard ass as a teacher.
Oh, he's a good fucking teacher that way.
He expects them to put their all into it and everything, but at the same time, he has such a kind heart with these kids, too. He knows where the line is on the caring aspect or the hard-ass aspect. And in my opinion, and maybe it's only because we've only seen him as, like, the prime teacher with all of these kids. You don't with Vlad and, like, Midnight and different things like that. They're kind of only, you only see him once in a while and stuff like that. But I think he's, like, a 10 out of 10, probably the best.
Well, he's such a good teacher. Yeah.
I would love slash hate to have him as a teacher.
It would be very difficult.
I would love it because...
Aside from the naps.
Well, it's nap time. That's time for me to take a nap, huh? That's a good-ass time, as far as I'm concerned.
Wait, you guys didn't have nap halls?
Nap halls? School?
Study hall? Yeah, we had study hall. I played Pokemon in it. I didn't nap. I played video games like a cool kid. Are you kidding? We played Phase 10. I was a
boring kid. I just did my homework.
Fucking
so I didn't have to bring it home.
Nerd. What, you didn't just not do your homework in general?
No, like, I always did my homework, and I didn't even have to bring it home.
You didn't do it on the bus on the way to school?
You didn't do it, like, in the first 10 minutes before class started?
No, what is wrong with you two?
I don't know. I don't know. But, I mean, I got my Regents diploma. Fuck it, right?
I got it.
Fuck it. So you see Yairozu being depressed, and she can't really, you know, she deals with it in the way that she does deal with it, with Aizawa helping her through it, kind of, and Todoroki helping her through it, he was kind of a piece of shit.
Tool in the beginning of it, but he kind of turned it around.
I mean, yeah, during the practical exam, he said what he said because that's what she needed to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like he was being a dick, but at the same time, when someone's in that deep, like, inside their own head... Sometimes it takes someone to talk to you like that to bring you out of your stupid funk.
Yeah. Now, Bakugo's trauma is a little different. And it's kind of telling to who he is as a person. It kind of sucks. But, like, he is kind of being surpassed in strength by Midoriya. Yeah. It's being seen. You see it happening in real time. And all of a sudden, it's kind of hitting him really hard. Where it's like he is noticing it and it's starting to really bother him. And that's where he is getting angry in the OP. Like, you see him in the same way that you see Uraraka and Yairozu.
I'm sure all the fun times he had with Best Genus probably didn't help, too.
Yo, he got that whole
drama.
Dude, he got rid of that yee haircut. Looks good. Maybe he can get some bitches on his dick.
He was wearing jeans instead of his tactical trousers.
It was kind of great, right?
He had the top. He had his top on for his uniform. Yep. There, tucked into jeans. I was like, that's great.
So then we see Stain, which is hype. I love Stain. He's my favorite villain so far, for sure. Favorite villain is season 4. But
he's a terrifying villain because his viewpoints are so different.
His philosophy is just pretty on point, like, to the point where even, like, students and children.
Yeah, because look at what Danki Kaminari was talking about it. And
the last episode, there's a kid in the mall who's like, oh, they have Stain merchandise? You're going to get in trouble for that. And then he's like, yeah, but do I look good in it, though? Like it's almost like a Michael Myers mask. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, it's such a weird concept to, like, glory. It'd be like wearing a Jeffrey Dahmer hat. It'd be fucking weird.
Well, I don't know. Although people because do it, so, honestly,
I was gonna say. I mean, it's not too different from, you know, actual society.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, look at how serial killers are almost romanticized.
I was gonna buy a shirt that says "Burn Bundy Burn" in the style of the picket sign of him, like when he was dying, when he was getting electrocuted. I mean, in fairness, I guess that is pretty apt. But we see that. We see Deku, Ida, and Shoto just doing it, doing their moves. It's sick. It's a good style bit, you know.
I mean, we got the Froppy.
Oh, Froppy.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. We're still talking about the OP.
Oh, yeah. It's almost over. I'll finish it real quick, like, because we do have to go on. You see that. You see the normal stuff. You see the League of Villains is getting bigger. You know, there's some team fight sections, which are sick. You know, and then Deku walking forward with his arm out. He's ready to carve his own path, become a better hero. It's pretty easy. Now, this song is a bop. It's a good song. It's just I don't think it slaps nearly as hard as fucking, you know, The Day.
I disagree.
Or Peace Sign. I think those are so, like, oh, so iconic. The videos, it's way better. It's the best OP for certain. But in my opinion, the song doesn't hit as hard for me. I kind of felt that way about, I think, the next OP as well. But we'll talk about that in the next one. It just didn't hit me the way that those ones did, you know. Something about The Day and Peace Sign that just, oh, so good. The riffs probably, they help.
I'm not a musical connoisseur, so.
No, me either.
Oh, it's all I do. So now we have
Hosu.
Hosu City. Stain is about to kill the only Native American hero in Japan, which was a weird choice, but sure. He's going around killing everybody anyway.
I'm really curious as to what Native's abilities are.
I'm curious about how racist it is. It's probably very racist. Probably pretty insensitive, to be honest.
Well,
let's be real. It was probably like throwing a tomahawk real good. It would be very unfortunate.
Is that animal spirits?
You see, okay, that would be kind of sick, though.
That would be right? Cool.
That'd be kind of fucking sick. That wouldn't be racist. That'd be tasteful.
Yeah, it's kind of. It's probably something to do with animal spirits.
I hope. I really hope.
I mean, it's not the rain dance.
Do you ever? Oh God! Do you ever see him again? Probably not.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he was just kind of a throwaway.
Oh yes. Never mind.
You do?
I remember now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, good.
Later, you see them later. Get later in the manga.
Get killed. Would be my assumption.
Who knows?
Then you have Ida show up. You know, like I said, Midoriya goes to Gran Torino's house, this short little stubby man who has dementia.
Which, real quick, let's talk about old men in anime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're one of two things, one of three things. One, they're completely useless.
Yes.
Two, they were some big buff boy, yep. and then as soon as they got old, they shrunk
to half their size.
Yeah.
No more. Jesus. He's like a third of his size.
You've got Gran Torino here in My Hero. In One Piece, you have a couple of people. Yasui, which is someone who shows up in the Wano arc.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't remember the other dude's name, but he used to be a Yakuza boss.
He's got beautiful
sakura flowers on his chest. But he used to be this big dude, you know, big chubby person, samurai man.
Reduced to this little thing.
Yeah, reduced to like this really short, shriveled up, like child size.
Makes you curious what Recovery Girl looked like in her prime.
Right? Hot. Are you kidding?
And then you got
she still is.
Like the lead captain of Bleach.
Oh, Jesus.
Who is old, walks around with a cane, and then when he needs the fight, he just pulls off his names are wrong in my brain. But pulls off this jacket basically. And he's just this big, buff fucking...
That's my favorite trope in anime, is when the skinny little old man rips off his shirt and is all of a sudden like a fucking Mack truck, like Master Roshi looking.
Roshi?
Yeah. Oh, dude, he's just chilling, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, muscles. It's like All Might, literally, like when he transforms.
Inflatable muscles.
So, like, then we have, you know, him learning how to, once again, not break the egg in the goddamn microwave. Turn the wattage down, fuck. Maybe don't cook an egg in a microwave. How about that? Fucking just boil it slowly.
Scrambled eggs.
He had his aha moment, though.
He did have his aha moment, which I think was half earned. But
I loved the scene. Like, he's like, this... They were making takoyaki,
mm-hmm.
right? And he's like, this is me! And Gran Torino's just like, no, it's not.
Are you kidding? No, you idiot.
You're not a snack.
Wow.
It depends on who you ask.
Depends on the dungeons you read, huh? He's kind of a snack to me. No, and then we see him do it. He gets his ability to fucking jump on walls. He looks great. He's got decent control of it. He's still not there yet, but he is really getting there.
I'd like to say that it's such a tried and true anime thing that, like, they always neigh. They always scream out what they're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, smash!
Yeah, they go for it, but I think that's part of the fun, right? I think it adds to it. Something yeah. about it.
For a couple of them, if you look, he's yelling it in his head.
Oh yeah.
Instead of out loud, because he can't just yell out Detroit Smash without everyone looking at him going, you know, your power does seem like All Might.
Yeah.
Right. You're using the same attacks as him.
I still think it's fucked up. First of all, I understand, like, it's not fucked up that nobody notices. I think it makes sense that nobody notices. Like, the more people you get to know...
People have noticed, because well, yeah. they've had people mention it I don't know how many times.
Yeah, but it's so easy to, like, disprove anything and just be like, no, he is a huge All Might fan. Have you seen his bedroom?
Todoroki asked if he was All Might's love child.
Yeah, so. That's great. But, like, you can disprove it so easily by just being like, look at his bedroom. All of a sudden, there's, like, a billion All Might things, and he's like, oh, he just wants to be All Might. I understand. And he has a power that's similar.
Yeah, at the same token, be like, how many other people...
How many strength powers are there? There's so fucking many.
Yeah.
More strength heroes than heel heroes, which is a moment of contention.
Still, the only healing hero that we've run into, even in the manga, is Recovery Girl.
Yeah.
I think there's two other ones that have a healing ability. And the only reason I know this is because, and I will address this on air, I had a heated gaming moment with my roommates Kelsey and Brock. God bless you guys, and I do apologize for what I did to you in asking the question and fighting for my fucking life for it. The question was, why are there no fucking healers in My Hero Academia? Like, it's weird that there's no healers in the hero course. And of course, you know, the obvious answer is, why would there be a fucking healer in a hero course? But I'd like to have a moment of, I think it makes sense that there would be. I think that's part of what being a hero is. They're not all, like, big fighty boys in Class 1A.
No.
Jiro is not going to go beat a man up, but she will save people's lives. So I just want to have a moment.
Yeah, Jiro's more of, like, a sleuth. Like,
yeah.
She's going to be more the
she'd
type
of person. She'd be good for support and stuff.
Yeah.
Great recon.
Yeah, she'd be great for recon, you know.
Not everybody in that class is going to make a good pro hero, like, with their own agency or something like that. A lot of them are going to be amazing support. Sidekicks, things like that.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And they all work well together. It's one of those things where it's like, I do wish there were more healing heroes, though. It's one of those things.
I read it somewhere. I don't remember where, but it was said that it was because, wow, words hard. Sorry, guys. A healing quirk is just extremely rare.
Yes. Yeah. That is essentially where the conversation with, like, me and Kelsey and Brock had ended. Mm. It's just rare, you know? And, of course, Brock also was like, it wouldn't make a good show if everyone was just, like, if you were in a doctor's office. And then I thought to myself, oh, my God, it'd be so sick. Like, ER, but, like, with heroes. Bro, I would watch that in a heartbeat. And for you young kids who don't know what ER is, think Grey's Anatomy. Same thing. But with George Clooney. It's good. It's good. I'd watch the shit out of that. I would watch a show that's just like ER, but with quirks. In a heartbeat. 100%.
I'd rather watch an anime with Lunch Rush.
Oh, fuck me. Are you kidding? Like a Food Network show starring Lunch Rush? Oh, my God. I'd watch that a millisecond. Oh, let's go.
They let other people from other shows come in, like Sanji from One Piece.
Yo, that'd be sick, though.
your dude from Food Wars.
Yo, oh, my God. The ultimate crossovers. Like, honestly, just food crossovers. Fight the dude from Fighting Food On. Fried Ricer, I believe his name was.
So let's get back to Stain, because we have veered way off into...
Listen, sometimes you just gotta go for it. Stain is nuts. He's got this ideology that's basically like, there are no real heroes left.
This was quite a shift in Ida, too.
It was a shift in everybody.
Part.
I think it's such a divisive moment.
I mean, he is extremely hyper-rational. I mean, he lost all of his give-a-damn.
Oh, yeah.
When his brother got hurt. I mean, Native was there. He didn't even really care. I mean, Midoriya and Todoroki showed up, and he's like, no, this is my fight. You know, I'm gonna be this. And it's like, there's a hero right there that can't move, and you're not thinking of this. And normal Ida would have been way more rational. So it was kind of a crazy shift. Mm. I mean, I understand why there was a shift, but...
Well, it's wild, right? Because, like, I was watching that video, that summary on it, and the way that dude explained this moment was so ass backwards to me. He was like, he went in recklessly, which, yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was like, and almost got a hero killed. No, friend. that hero was going to die. Yeah. He saved that dude's life.
Not to mention, I think...
He almost died,
because though. Even I forget sometimes. These are 15 and 16-year-old kids.
They're children.
They're children. And I don't care. You can be 15 or 16 and be like, I'm not a kid. Trust me.
Oh, that's a child.
You are a child.
This little baby.
And I sometimes forget that they're 15 and 16-year-olds. And that is a completely normal reaction to a 15, 16-year-old when their, you know, their brother... Who he idolizes. I mean, he looks up to his brother so strongly, and now all of a sudden, the whole situation, his whole life is going to change.
It's like any samurai anime. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Afro Ninja, like, or Afro Samurai. You see, like, your dude die in front of you, and then you're just like, oh, yeah, this is vengeance now. I have to avenge him.
I've read a portion of the Vigilantes manga.
Mm-hmm. I have not read any of
and,
that.
And Tensei's injury hits harder. When you've seen the things he did in Vigilantes, you know, he helped out the group of the two Vigilantes. It used to be three. One of them ran off to go do something. And Tensei kind of stepped in without really knowing what he was doing.
Yeah.
But he helped our main dude, Crawler, get better with his quirk. You know, he helped push him. They actually went on, he'd run into Tensei when he was out for a run.
No, are the Vigilantes, are they like anti-heroes? Or like
no, they're normal people that just wanted to
protect. Normal. I would assume it's like normal people who don't have their hero license.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they tracks. Just. And,
I haven't read any of Vigilante, so I wasn't sure.
They're not heroes. They still have like normal jobs and everything, but after work they go out and they help people. You know.
Oh, so it is for the good.
Yeah, it's for good. They're not doing anything wrong. You know, there's one girl. Her name's Pop, and she's. Basically, she doesn't ever really fight anybody, but she's got a quirk that lets her, like, jump really high and stuff like that. And she's a pop idol. So she's got, like, a portable boombox thing with her with a microphone. And she uses that and her quirk to get up high and, like, shoo people out of the way.
So sick.
You know, he was helping Crawler because he'd go on runs.
I'm going to have to see him. Read this.
Sam.
Yeah,
Sam.
Crawler would see him running. And then they'd go out. Well, Crawler was using his quirk, even though... Tensei was like, you shouldn't be doing that, but I'm going to look the other way because nobody's on the road right now. And you're a good buddy to run with. So Tensei's running, and then Crawler's just flying by him, like next to him with his quirk, just getting better and working well together. Mm-hmm. So when you find out Tensei gets hurt, it's just like, Ida, your brother is amazing.
Well, that's the thing, right? He's like, the whole idea of staying is to harm the heroes that aren't heroes.
Yeah, the ones that are only out for personal gain. They're only out there for a paycheck.
And that's not Tensei.
Not at all.
Even in the show. Like,
even if you don't know enough about him, all you have to do is look at the character of Tenya, and you can tell.
Look at his brother. You see it.
Yeah.
Like, that's
the little bit that you do see of him, you can see that that's the same kind of character.
It's Buck Wild.
That's what I was trying to get to as well, is like, once you understand Tensei a little bit more, you know that Stain had him pegged completely wrong. He just looked at him and just judged his strength, his actual strength.
Stain is so set in his convictions that he doesn't look at any other factors other than, oh, you call yourself a pro hero.
Well, I mean, look at the situation. He exclusively is like, the only person who can kill me is All Might. That's the only real hero. But, like, think about the moment at the end of that situation with Deku. Like, I think he
deems Deku worthy.
Yeah, he sees it.
They're the only two that he has deemed worthy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the reason why he saved Deku. He's like, you're not stealing this bright young actual who could actually become a hero.
The only person who is a hero,
which is such a skewed ideal because there are so many out there. I mean, there are definitely ones out there like Endeavor, Mount Lady, that I'm just like. Okay, you can piss off because you hold nothing, in my opinion, in terms of what it takes to be a pro hero. It's like, I like Uraraka, and I actually had a lot of respect for her freely admitting that the reason she wanted to become a hero is to be able to make money to take care of her family. And
it's noble still.
I still think it's noble. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people might say that it's not, but, you know, she's got a clear set goal in mind, and she's going to save a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
While still meeting the goal that she wants to make that dream for her family come true.
You know, that's one of the best things about her is the fact that she understands that it might seem childish or
and
selfish.
She admitted to it, but I have a lot of respect for her.
Yeah, I agree.
For already knowing that because, you know, I'm sure a lot of those kids probably don't even know other than they idolize somebody certain and they're like, I want to be like them. Or was
expected of them, kind of like Momo, you know.
Or Todoroki because of who his dad was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's expected of them.
So Stain gets dealt with. I mean, Todoroki comes to the rescue after Deku comes to the rescue.
Still
after
takes two knives Ida. In the air.
Oh my god. They all get kind of
good.
Deku almost loses his Achilles tendon, which means
he would not walk again. And then where would shoot style be? Nowhere. Still isn't anywhere
in his arsenal. But,
you know, you'd think a man knew how to kick, but fuck it, right?
But I mean,
he is trying to emulate All Might so much. And
he starts to break away as it goes on, though, which I really love seeing him finally breaking away.
I mean, look at his movement style once he learns how to
full cowl.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you.
He's like Bakugo.
I love All Might as a character. I do. And I love the justice that he stands up for. I hate him as a teacher.
Oh, he's a terrible fucking teacher.
He's terrible.
It's a figure yourself out kind of teaching.
Deku learned more in the short time he was with Gran Torino than he learned the entire time he was with All Might.
It's very much like a teacher we had in school, Mr. Hand. I love the man. He is literally the best person.
Yes.
He was not that good of a teacher.
No.
He didn't really push us as far as education goes, but he pushed us to find, you know, he's an English teacher. You know how it is. I think everybody has an English teacher like that.
His classroom was a safe space for anybody that wanted to be in that classroom, though. And
oh God, yeah.
Growing up in a small area like we did, it is very fucking snooty.
Yeah, he nurtured passions. So snooty. He nurtured passions instead of maybe a proper English education. But he still did that, too.
Mm-hmm.
He was still good at that.
But he was the teacher that you could go to that even if you were having issues, because I don't know about you guys, but I had teachers that I wasn't the smartest or the most popular or the most athletic. And it's like, you know, they have favorites. And I was never much of a favorite. And
you met us?
I mean, I think I just talked about how I didn't do my homework for the majority of my high school career. I definitely was not a favorite. Are you kidding? I was the only favorite, the only teacher I had that, like, liked me in general was Mr. Hand, Mr. Buell, our music teacher, and Mr. Wecker, because I listened to the Grateful Dead. Because I was a fucking hippie in high school.
I sent myself to the office a few times.
Oh, who hasn't?
I made a teacher mad, and I saw their face getting ready to send me to the office, and I just grabbed my stuff and walked out.
I always liked my favorite was Mrs. Timmerman.
She's the reason I met my roommate and my ex-girlfriend.
I just absolutely adored Mrs. Timmerman.
She's the absolute best. But that's a little too much, you know. Y'all don't know shit about that. Stain gets dealt with. Todoroki shows up, beats Cheeks. You know, Deku shows up, beats Cheeks. They fight Nomus. They deal with all of that stuff. Endeavor shows that he is, in fact, holy fuck, incredibly strong. It shows.
Even physically.
Brock had a question, which was, why has he got that fire mustache, though? And I think it's just, it complements the drip so well, and it's like,
I think it's because he has an actual mustache. That's what I said. It's honestly because
he has a real mustache, and all of his hair catches fire when he uses his quirk.
Yeah, so I think it really just has to do
that's
with
it,
that.
Yeah. That's what I said.
He extinguishes the beard and just keeps the mustache when he's not working.
I love it, personally.
You know, I think he'd look goofy without it.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of small things that you see on characters, when I was watching it, if you look during the flashback of Tenya and Tensei, Tensei has on his eyebrows actual arrows.
Yes.
Like, the entire arrow.
I noticed that too,
away
dude.
From him towards his ear. And then if you look at Tenya, he's only got half of an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
But it also makes his eyes look very angry.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Incredibly mad, yeah.
The few times you see him actually get serious, he's got the eyebrows going. And the animation and everything is just like, Tenya is almost someone I would follow, you know, if I was looking for a leader.
Tenya is very good.
Yeah. Sometimes you just look at him and be like, no, that's a man you could follow.
He's got a strong moral compass, you know, and he stands for what's right. He had a moment of weakness. He understands that. Yeah. And he understands it and is correcting himself. That's the thing about these characters. There's so much growth in them. They notice their weaknesses and they're like, I need to change for the better. I need to become
That's a what I find so flawed. Impressive with the story.
Yeah. Oh, it's so this. Good. It's so well done.
And like I've said before, I mean, it's a huge amount of characters and you get a huge amount of progress and like development with so many characters.
Todoroki opens up so fast.
After
personally, a little bit faster than I think he probably would have based on his personality, but that's maybe the only thing I can say about that.
I don't think he would have.
I don't agree. I think he would have opened up just as fast because he was longing for that sort of connection with somebody.
I can see it from that point of view.
If it wasn't for that second moment in the Bakugo fight, I think he would have been a little still in his wall. Like, Midoriya almost broke down that wall, and it really almost worked. And then in the Bakugo fight, he had that moment of hesitation, and then it hit him again, where he was like, oh, shit, I actually need to become a better person, and, like, I need to understand this trauma.
Yeah, and then he immediately starts working on helping the rest of his class when he can, if he's there to see it. You know, he helps Tenya during, he's down, you know, from Stain.
There's several natural born leaders in this group, which makes sense.
Definitely.
There's a lot.
Meanwhile, they're having fun in Hosu City. Froppy's out on the ocean having a blast, too.
Arresting drug smugglers.
Yeah, which wasn't in the manga at all.
Oh, that's sick. I like that. I like when they
No, it was
like
a special
that.
For the anime.
Because they saw how popular Froppy was becoming.
Oh, incredibly.
And like, yes, we are going to get
In the manga, they didn't really... That part of it wasn't... I mean, Hosu and all that stuff happened, but there wasn't really much on everybody else.
Yeah, it was like a page each.
Jiro does some like really good like rescue missions.
Yes.
Yep.
Like, it's really, like...
It definitely really showed good. Quite a bit more in-depth with the other characters going off and doing stuff.
And then that ends. They don't get in trouble because the Bow Wow chief of police...
buried it.
Brock was like, is that, like, a form of Tourette's, do you think? Like, he can't help it? And I was like, no, he does that on purpose, I think, to fuck with people.
I love Midoriya's face the first time he does it. He's like, finishes talking, woof, and he goes, woof! What?
It's just, and then they don't get in trouble because he's a baller. He's like, it's chill. You guys didn't get hurt that much.
Seeing Todoroki mad was funny, though. And then he's
God,
like, you could have started with that.
He got fucking heated. Like, really, way to bury the lead, guys. Come on. In fairness, like, I would be pretty upset, too, to have somebody come in and be like, y'all should be in jail. And then I'd be like, that dude almost died, and he's alive because of me exclusively. We saved that, man.
And then after Hosu, we get into the finals.
Yeah, the practical exams as well as the written.
Yeah.
Everybody, I believe, passed the written. Six people failed the practical, which is fair.
Six?
Only five.
I think it was six because of Pharaoh. No, maybe
Mineta passed.
You're right, Mineta did pass. He was the fifth. He was the fifth. And originally... Aizawa said nobody that fails is going to camp.
I don't know why they believed him.
I know. He did it in the first season, too. The logical deception. Like, he did that in the first season.
It was a logical deception.
In fairness, that wasn't a logical deception in the first season. He fully planned
it. Yeah, he did, yeah. I think they're all too strong to get rid of, though. You know what I mean? He saw that, clearly. And including Midoriya.
Except for Mineta. If he could pop off with his pop off.
No, I don't fucking get it, man. The more I watch, the more I'm like, man, I really dislike Mineta. And I liked him at first. Like, he was fine. I didn't like him, but I didn't hate him. I'm starting to be like, man, he's just kind of pointless, huh?
He's not finding much redeemable.
He's like a comic relief that isn't funny. And just straight horny on Maine.
It was like when him and Saro did their thing against Midnight, and like he was like pissed off because Saro fell asleep and touched her boob, and he's like crying blood. I'm like, come on, could this be any more fucking like tropey and just not funny?
I don't know if it's just because we are a Western audience. Maybe it hit different. I don't know. Like, I genuinely don't. If this,
I might find
funny
it funny if like the whole premise of the anime was like that kind of stuff. But yeah. I don't find it as a place. It doesn't have a place in this anime, in my opinion, at least. I'm sure everybody has their own opinions on it. But
well, you see, from my trashy taste, I watch a lot of garbage, and I'm used to a lot of really pervy characters.
Oh, same.
Mineta gets to me because that's not the point of this story.
Yeah. Exactly.
To be entirely honest. You know, there's another show that I started watching, Jobless Reincarnation. And the dude's a pervert in that too. And it's getting old for me for that show. Because it's every episode, there are at least two or three things where it's just, why? Just, I want to see you learn this magic system. I want to see you learn how to, you know, use this sword. You've had a second chance to not be this trashy person you were before, and you're just going back to it, dude. Why?
Which pairing was your favorite for the practicals? Because mine was Tokoyami and Froppy.
That's fair. That's such a good fight.
I really enjoyed it. Aizawa against Momo and Todoroki was really nice, too, because I liked seeing Aizawa at the very end kind of jump back when he really didn't have to, so that he could give that little boost back to her.
There's a lot in that.
And then my final favorite one is...
Huraraka?
Nope.
No, okay.
It's Jiro and Koji Koda against Present Mike, and he was foaming at the mouth at the end. It was so funny.
No, it's so good.
Koda has the most adorable voice.
I loved it because he started talking out loud, and she's just like, you can talk!
Bro, it's such a good moment. Like, it's such an interesting character that is never shown. You never see him. You don't see him, like, basically at all in the first season. You only see him at this one time.
I was all excited because it's the same voice actor for Shion from Number 6.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Get out.
See, I really liked the Principal Nezu fight.
I found that one. It was so quick and over, but it was funny. And when he's up there with his tea and he's like freaking out laughing.
It's very good. That is the voice of Barry the Chopper once again. God bless him. It just tracks. It's very
funny. I know I said like three, but now here I am, like veering off into more and more because the one with Ida and Ojiro was really good. And at the very end when he's buried.
Yep. And, it's so cool. I don't know. It was such a good idea that Ida had with the tail, like, having him grab his leg and just flip it all around. It's very smart. It's a very well-done segment. And then, of course, we get to the end. You know, and Bakugo All Might, which is... It's typical. It's very good. It kind of sets up a lot for the next season.
Yeah.
With
All Might fractured Midoriya's back.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was a villain. He cannot be blamed. He was a villain. And then, of course, that sets up a lot for the next season.
Yeah.
A lot. I think that the relationship between Bakugo and Midoriya, this is where it started to really shift.
Yeah.
The final episode in this season, I actually forgot that it was in season two until I went back and rewatched it when Tomura goes to the mall where they're all shopping. I actually forgot that that was at the end.
It's funny, right? Because it's such a, like, slice of life moment. In the beginning.
It is. It's all cute. Like, let's go shopping.
Let's go to the mall and today. It becomes
like, fight for your life for Midoriya.
Yeah.
In an instant.
Yep. Immediately his neck is grabbed by Tomura and it's just such a jarring moment of just like, oh fuck. Like he could technically speak and kill
and he's
this
just
child.
Rubbing his finger
yeah.
on him, which I think just makes it that much creepier.
It's a very Hisoka moment.
Being
able
to keep your cool under a situation like that. You know, he thought it through. He knew that if he did anything, one, he was going to die. And if he died, he wouldn't be able to save or protect anyone. Because Shigaraki was just going to go on a killing spree afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God,
if Midoriya did anything. So
he would have gotten away safely. That's the fucked up part.
The worst part of that whole situation is it gave him a purpose.
Yes.
He found his purpose.
He realized Midoriya that him and Stain were alike, but opposites, basically. Which is even worse because it makes Tomura kind of not an unnecessary character, but like evil for evil's sake, chaos for chaos' sake.
Yeah, that's
it's not necessarily the best, but it works for him. I think
he views the world as a game.
Yeah, and it tracks.
You know, it's something that sticks with him even through the manga. Actually, it gets worse.
I was about to say I did hear a little bit about the manga, and I know it gets crazy.
It does
chapters,
but it's. Yeah, we can't.
We'll talk about that when we get to it.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, bring up the fact that he views everything as a game. But I thought it was only going to be throwaway at first, and then when I started reading the manga, you know, I didn't think it was going to stick to that, but it did.
It's gone in a very crazy and impressive direction, though.
Was not expecting
in the manga.
Before we end, I do want to say kudos, Ashley. For reminding me of the theory
of the doctor. Thank you. Yes, I've been arguing with that.
Can we talk about how he's there in the second season?
Oh yeah.
Do you know what theory that I'm talking about? Do you want me to say what theory I have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
go for it.
Do you remember in the very first season when they're the doctor that told
it's the same Midoriya, person.
It's the same doctor.
Yeah.
And
it's
Connor,
not confirmed yet,
Connor, though. It's not.
But it is like.
I'm sorry. You can think whatever you want, but like I've read the
manga.
It's the
same character design.
Yes,
Yeah. Thank you. It's a whole thing.
I told this to Connor like a month ago, and he has argued with me for a month on this theory that I have.
This is the thing, right? This is where we find out I just like to argue, dude. I argued about doctors in My Hero Academia for fucking like 2 days straight. Like, are you kidding? I just argue.
Why do you think I ignore him half the time when he tries to argue with me?
It's very fair. It's very fair because I don't stop. So we made it, boys.
I know his shut-off button. Just ignore him.
I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, you'll get there. So we made it to the end, boys. Overall, I fucking love this anime so much, dude. There's something about it that I think there's something for just everybody. And it continues to get better every season.
I really like this season, other than, you know, it was a tournament arc, and you can always guess where a tournament arc was going. So I really wasn't getting it too into it until the second half.
It's fair.
When we got into Stain and the practical exams, because tournament arcs are cool. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, they're consistent, though.
But yeah, there's not hardly ever really much you can talk about. You talk about one tournament arc, you've talked about all of them.
With the exception of Yu Yu Hakusho. Which we will get to.
Yeah, that's different.
Always very different.
You know, but using the mines to yeet himself across the minefield, and then
smart
using another mine to blind his foes.
There's a lot of really interesting ideas. Yeah.
There's a lot of intelligent students.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then moving on to, you know, you've got a bunch of comedy going in there. You know, like I was talking about with Higakure, you know, Hatsume, all of them. Was it great? You know, I had a lot of fun watching it.
Again. And final thoughts, producer?
I definitely think the Stain arc in this was my favorite.
It's very well done, right?
It was a moment where I got goosebumps watching it and everything, especially as it progressed and everything. And I really, really enjoyed seeing this change in Tenya and then kind of coming back from it. Because it's almost like you got to see him get all of his frustrations out. And then finally, once his frustrations were out, he was calm and more level-headed and stuff like that. And
it did a good job of setting a lot of scenes and setting up these characters for what they do become. And even Stain, like, his philosophy is kind of passed throughout the whole show at this point. Like, it really starts to echo in the community. It starts to echo in, like, just society in general. So now that we're at the end.
Yes.
The time has come to spin that wheel.
Theme song. Spin that wheel! Da-da-da-da-da-da.
We're not getting copyrighted. We send it, boys. It decided not to work. Let's do this.
It has crashed.
All right, it is working now. All right. Let's see what we're getting, boys. On the wheel of genres,
please
we get
the action.
We got romance.
Woo-hoo!
Let's go, baby. Not dudes punching each other. Thank fuck. Oh, I'm so happy. I could cry. I'm so happy. Oh. All right. And now we spin the wheel of romance. Oh, there's some stuff on here, huh? I'm excited. Let's go. Tell me what it is, man.
Congratulations. The winner is The Ancient Magus Bride.
Yay.
Which I'm actually looking forward to.
I am, too. I've been wanting to watch it for a long time. I never have.
I love it.
I watched the first half of it, and then I got distracted because it was longer than I thought it was.
That's fair. So, yeah, I guess that's it. We're going to watch
Ancient Magus Bride. I would also highly recommend watching the subbed, not the dubbed.
Okay. I'll check both, probably, to be honest. How long is it?
I watch everything subbed.
I usually do if the dub is good, but I didn't like the dub for this one.
Is that because you watched the sub first?
Yeah.
There it is. There it is, baby. It does that for everybody. I could give two shits. I'll probably watch the dub because I just don't want to read so much right now. I don't have time. I'm working 24/7. That's it. That's good. Do it. Just another reminder, follow us on Twitter at @anime_roulette. Follow us on Facebook, please. You know, if you guys really like, if you listen and you're really liking it, please leave a review on Apple Music, on iTunes, or whatever. Spotify, check us out. Google, we're there now. I don't know what Google does for us, but they exist. We have it on Google now, so we have it everywhere basically, with the exception of like Slacker, which I'm trying to figure out. So thank you guys for listening, and we will see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye. Toodaloo.